Shaquille O'Neal in battle armor. What more do you need? This week on Android App Addicts. Android App Addicts, episode 516. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, whatever else happens to cross our mind. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and I am your host for this extravaganza of Android awesomeness. And joining me this week are the people you're really here to hear from. Eric, the executive, the great one, the exalted, the grand poobah, Ardini, and Steve, the door-to-door geek, McLaughlin. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Mark. What's going on, man?
Thought I'd manage you up a little bit tonight.
Thanks. I need the management up. I've been really getting kind of bummed out because my month of summer is already going away, and I can feel the fallness coming already. And we only get a month of summer, man. It's just, I can, like, next week, they're like, oh, it's going to be back to below normal, and temperatures, we're not going to get too hot. It's going to be in the 80s and highs. I'm like, I'm not ready for that. Give me three more months of 90s, and I'll be fine. I just need to go to Atlanta, huh?
Well, it's plenty warm here. Temperatures here have been the mid-90s, 96, 97, which these people consider hot. But, you know, as a Texan, that's like a warm spring day for me. But it is dang humid.
Mm-hmm. And we get a little humidity. We're supposed to have funnel clouds tonight, so that'll be fun.
I'll definitely pass on those funnel clouds. But, yeah, heat here has been off and on. Lately, it's actually not been too bad, but I keep being told it's coming back in like a day.
Yeah, the combination of humidity and pollen and air so thick you can cut it with a butter knife actually combined to cause my middle child to have an asthma attack serious enough to warrant a 911 call. So,
ooh,
you know, those
man.
Aren't awesome. But otherwise, no, we're all right.
Has he been a sufferer? Of asthma much or
yeah
just
well it's
on?
You know, it's the beauty of genetics. I have asthma pretty severely, and I passed it on to all three of my children. You're welcome, girls. But yeah, off and on it happens. This was just one of those times when the regular rescue inhaler wouldn't cut it, but everybody's fine now.
Well, to me, that's what's important. Families are supposed to have certain things happen to them just to say that they happened, and you know, when everyone comes out right. Okay, it's okay. Yeah, we've missed here, I think 2 weeks, I want to say. We did definitely have some Android stuff happen, some Google stuff happen, Samsung announcing a hopeful non-exploding phone again, we don't know. Google in the news here very recently about privacy concerns, to which I'll just say, if you have privacy concerns and you have a smartphone, can you come to my face and we can discuss the issue as I slap the phone out of your hand. Because if you have a smartphone and privacy issues, that's like putting a gun barrel in your mouth and wondering why, you know, the back of your head gets...
I don't think you wonder for long.
Well, you know, hypothetic, of course. Yeah, I mean, I've been installing apps, uninstalling apps, seeing games cross over again from mobile to Switch and forth, back and forth games. So, watching my kids play games. I'm old, I'm tired, I go to bed. Oh, but Mark, I forgot to tell you. I was waiting purposely to say this on air to you, just so it's documented and recorded. The one reason why I think you should at least look at the game, just for entertainment purposes only, Stardew Valley.
Oh, geez, we're talking about this again?
Wait. It's because the game is so spreadsheetable, is the way I'll put it.
That sounds fun. Oh, what a great game.
There are lists on Reddit and stuff of just spreadsheets pertaining to the game, to where you can chart out things. And then you can, of course, just look at it, copy the functions if you like how it does that, make your own spreadsheet up kind of thing. It's a very spreadsheetable game. And that's what I keep thinking to myself whenever I think of you and having any time to do anything would be a miracle. But
you know, every time you start talking about this game, I'm reminded of like an Amway salesman or those obnoxious essential oil people You know, it's like whatever the question, the answer is Stardew Valley.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to say it like this. I've played games since Atari, you know, Adventure, Missile Command, Space Invaders in the arcade back in the day, which I remember and had to remind other people back in the day, there was no joystick and button. When that arcade cabinet was out, it was two buttons left and right and a third button for fire. That was before a stick was really anywhere. So I've seen a whole bunch of games. I don't like games that just drill into me how much I suck at the game, you know, how much you die kind of thing. I'm kind of done with those games. Fighting games are fun and other games can be fun, but I like a game where death isn't even on the table. It's just interesting.
All right.
Not like Grand Theft Auto where death is at every intersection, literally.
I don't know. My gaming, I mean, I may not go back. I go back pretty far, like the TI-99 4A gaming, but I've always had like a soft spot in my heart for Carmageddon and things like that. Little Death and Destruction's good game.
It's just a sign of getting older, but when, like Halo, and it was sort of the first of its kind, right? And lots of games have come out after it, but when you started having like 9 different buttons and 2 joysticks and you know, you got to turn your hips one way and your head the other while double click, at that point, I just lost interest. It was too much work and not enough like a game. And that's...
Yeah, I never liked Halo. If it didn't have the flying aspect, I probably would have liked it a lot more. It was just the extra dimension I couldn't like.
I despised Halo mainly because it was on the Xbox, and there will never be an Xbox in my house. So, you know, I don't...
Never really, say never.
I told my kid.
It was also available on the PC.
I believe you, but, you know, PC games aren't my strong suit. I am a big fan of Intel graphics on Linux desktops just because of stability's sake. So I'm not, you know, that guy.
Yeah.
But we do have a guy in the tub who joined the chat, so that's
welcome,
interesting.
You tubbers. Have we talked about the fact that Android Pie is officially released? I don't think we've had a show since that happened. So it's a pie.
No.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I got the notification that I was going to be upgraded to the official version because I'm always on the Google beta channel. So with the Pixels and whatever, and that's what Microsoft calls it, Android beta. So I've had Pi for at least a few months, probably maybe close to 4 months, I'm guessing. And you know, I've seen it grow and change a little bit. So as far as new features, I don't even know what's new. I'm used to it. I guess the volume controls must be part of Pi.
The volume controls that I got were basically a remake from the volume controls from around the Moto X days. The Droid controls, where when you hit the volume control, you get advanced to a deeper menu choice than just the current menu. Because like right now, sometimes when I hit menu, it's changing my media volume, but what I actually want to change is the ringer volume or vice versa kind of thing. So it makes it very difficult. Now with that, when you tap it, it doesn't instantly change the volume. It brings up a thing where you can change what you're changing and then change the volume.
Your shows up in a sidebar?
Oh, no, yeah. I'm not on mine.
Mine
on P.
That's that sidebar right there is what shows up for me for volume. And I can move it up and down. I can tap to silence, vibrate, or full sound. And then I've got a gear down there, which will bring up my whole sound settings. And it's handy, especially if you don't know. I guess without it, you could be adjusting the volume and not really be sure that if you're adjusting the ring volume or the media volume. You know, it wouldn't be obvious, but this makes it very obvious. So I think that is a plus. But I can't remember. You know, I've had this for so long, I just don't remember what's new.
Android
on it.
Well, the home button can be gone.
The gestures,
you can have to slide left and right to do.
The Android website is all about the adaptivity of it. You know, they call it the AI, right? The phone adjusts to you, learns how you use it, moves apps where, you know, surfaces the things that you want. I haven't experienced any of that, but, you know, their PR basically says, you know, the phone is going to read your mind and open your text messages before you tap on the button, which, you know, sounds nice, but
I don't know if it gets there, but it is nice that when you slide your app drawer up, it's got a pretty good, it's got your recent apps that you used at the very top without having to go through the alphabetical order. And then it also has sort of like widgets right below them where the last person you called is right there, so you can quickly call them back without having to go find your phone app. I don't know. It didn't get worse. I'm going to say that. This isn't like a honeycomb edition where it got worse that I can tell. It hasn't slowed down my phone at all that I can tell.
I meant to mention it a while back, but you guys have talked up the Action Launcher several times on this show, and I decided to give it a try about a month ago now, and I got to say I'm just super impressed with it. I paid for the paid version because, pay for what you like, support the things you like, but it has been by far my favorite launcher of all times.
Have you used Nova launcher?
I have not used Nova. Well, not recently. It was a long time ago, so I can't really say that I've used the modern version.
The paid version of Nova Launcher is my go-to launcher if I'm not using a stock Google Android launcher.
Yeah, so I use the just the Google launcher for a long time until the Google Now launcher, and I liked it a lot. It's minimalist. It worked. The swipe left to get to Google Now. Of course, Google killed Google Now in favor of Google Assistant, and so it became just not really worthwhile. So I tried the Action Launcher. I like the adaptive buttons. I know that's not new technology, but it's new to me. And, I just thought I'd mention it. If you're looking for a launcher, Action Launcher, solid.
When you say adaptive buttons, what do you mean?
Like the Gmail button shows you how many messages you have. And when you tap, press and hold on it, it gives you options like to view notifications, or you can create a message right from that icon, things like that. And it seems to be pretty pretty universal to all the apps on the phone, which surprised me, right? So it's not that the app has to be compatible with it. It's that the launcher detects what the app is doing, and it's just pretty cool. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I'll say to me, both of them, Action Launcher, Nova Launcher, both of them are really good. They're both very mature, and that's the thing with Android right now. We're at a state of maturity. There isn't a lot they can change, my opinion, without upsetting a lot of people. The launcher is basic. On mine, to change the volume is literally three extra clicks. I have to unlock the phone, swipe down, hold down on the icon of the speaker. There's definite quickening that can be done. It's almost like they're trying to emulate Windows Phone, where they want to make things instantly accessible right there with less work, kind of thing, in air quotes. It seems okay. It's something new, but I haven't cared about something new on OS levels now for 3 levels, maybe.
Really?
I haven't ROMed for 5 levels because there's not enough differences happening, period. I mean, it's still cool, but there's no... Anyone who says security risk, I'll say, okay, theoretically, you are correct. Congratulations. Theoretically, a comet could come through my house and go through my head right
now.
Well,
that would have been last Sunday. We had the person did meteor shower or whatever it was.
Well, whatever. I don't base my life off of theories. I base my life off of actual events and things that happen. So Android security to me is not important. It's not a primary driving factor. I'm not going to scream at people saying you have to get a Google Pixel. I'm not. It's cool. Go ahead. Have fun. Enjoy it.
I do.
But you're not getting any extra security.
I have a Google Pixel phone just so I can be in the beta channel, because I like the newest app or the newest OS updates.
Well, I got ribbed today because I called somebody with a Pixel device a beta tester, and it was Aaron from the makers, and he didn't like it. And I always mean it. Everyone's a beta tester to Google. I'm a tier 2 beta tester because I don't have a Pixel, but I'm this. I'm an then user.
I know.
Everyone's a beta tester for
Google. I know I'm a beta tester, and I signed up for it. I sign up for the Android beta every time. I'm still back in the day where I wasn't in Linux all the time, so I would be Vista's coming out. I need to see what this looks like. Oh my gosh, it's got menus and cloud fuzziness. Oh, that's cool. And things are in focus, and things aren't in focus. Oh, this is awesome looking. I love an OS update, man. I still do, and I'm probably as much of an addict to that as I am apps. I I like being on the bleeding edge of that kind of stuff. And that's the only reason I would have a Pixel. I don't have it for any kind of a security thought. And I know I'm a beta tester and I'm all in, and they get everything. I don't, even when I play a game, I do sign in to let them have my information off of the Play Market
Google
thing.
Games.
Yeah, Google Games, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good hardware. I'm not stupid. It is good hardware. I'm just not willing to pay that much.
And I thank you for your service, Eric.
True.
You know, because of you, my experience 5 years later is better. So thank you for that.
And I will hold on to the phone for a long time. I don't have to have the newest phone, but you know, I had my Samsung Galaxy S3 for a long time until to the point I couldn't, you know, do much with it. But I was ROMing it the entire minute. You know, every time a new ROM came out with the new OS, I was on that. This is just a little.
I gave a review of Android, the Nexus One, right? So the G1 doesn't really count as Android. It wasn't a smartphone in the modern sense. So the Nexus One was the first modern smart Android phone, and I bought one and I paid like $1,000 for it. And I gave a review of it on my show at the time, the Taiwan Tech, and I got roasted for one thing for reviewing a phone that cost $1,000 on a show called the Taiwan Tech. But the point is,
did you return it right after the review?
I kept that thing for years. It was an excellent HTC made phone. Excellent phone. But at the time, coming from a BlackBerry. Right. That was the thing before Android. And BlackBerry was polished and it was years old and it was, you know, one might even say perfected. And my comment at the time is that all these things that I'm accustomed to just being in the BlackBerry phone are apps on the Android ecosystem. The OS doesn't really do anything. Like to change, to have different volume profiles. If I want a meeting volume and I want a silent and I want a mute, that's an app. Where on the BlackBerry, it was just a tap of a button. Things like that. And I remember giving that review these many years ago. And to some degree, a lot of that's still true. It's just the mindset of Android. They just they don't try to be all things to all people. They leave the apps to that. But also now, you know, 7-8 years later, it is such a more mature, to use Doar's word, operating system now. Everything you need is available stock from the phone. You buy a Google Pixel or you buy a Play version of a phone, something, you know, not from a carrier. That's an experience that nobody should have to deal with. But if you buy a nice, pure phone, not everything's built into the OS, but everything's built into the phone by the time you get it. And you don't need the ROM anymore. You don't need to root anymore. You know, I used to be all about that. I haven't done that for like my last 5 phones. I just haven't needed to anymore. All the things that I used to root for, I don't need anymore. And that makes phones usable and stable. It also makes them a little boring.
It turns them into a appliance type device instead of a personal, intimate type device. It's still a device. It still does stuff. It's just a appliance. It's more of a tool. And that's fine. They are what they are. They're phones.
They always said that new technology isn't mature until you can go to a big box store and buy it, and it's wrapped in a plastic packaging hanging on a peg hook. And we've been that way with Android phones now. You can go to Walmart and buy a Straight Talk or whatever, you know, phone in a clamshell plastic case and cut it open with scissors. And
even the cheap blue phones, you know, the straight out of Korea, they're perfectly usable for, you know, almost no money.
A guy in the chat room says that I think I see a tear in Mark's eye for the BlackBerry. I you know, you probably see one in mine too. The BlackBerry, I was working at a factory at the time, a paper mill, and I used to have to deal with this weird dye stuff that I would test paper with. My ball turned pink from it because I got to use it at work. And I just loved to have a browser in my hand when I wanted one. It was such a, that was the beginning of it, man. That really started me on this path.
We don't really need to know about your pink balls, but thanks for the visual.
Anytime.
Thank you for being.
That's why we're streaming live for the visual of pink balls.
And back again. So I made my 2 kids, 13 and 10 years old, watch the first like 2 episodes of Golden
Girls. Oh gosh, what are you, Sean Johnson or something?
Dude, I don't care what you say. It's a good show.
Is
it
really?
The first episode. Well, yeah, it's a great show. But the very first episode, Sophia, the old woman.
The
was
old woman?
Actually a different, yeah, she was actually a slightly different character. She came from a nursing home that burnt down, and they said when she was off camera that she had a stroke. So basically she can't control some of the things that she says.
Hmm.
And she, you almost like pity her. And there was also a male cook in the first episode. I don't know what happened to him. And then after that, it became much more comedic, her one-liners, and not, you know, almost pity, like this woman can't control herself.
Well, at least she can't control herself from her mouth, you know, unlike other old women who come from maybe from nursing homes that burned out.
In fact, I believe it was the very first episode, she said she's like clockwork at 7 a.m. every morning. She always goes to the bathroom.
Well, then,
but the bad thing is that she doesn't get up till late.
All right, maybe this show is worth looking back at. I personally don't like any old TV shows from my childhood. Looking back at any of them,
I've started rewatching Cheers recently. Again on Netflix, all your old childhood is come back to,
right.
And of course, all the references are dated. Like they were talking about the Reagan Mondale election and that sort of stuff. But and the technology is all dated. But the show, the jokes, the writing, it really stands up all these years later, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, some of these old shows, honestly, just for the production value, they're worth checking out. There are shows not worth checking out. Unfortunately, like Knight Rider, I tried multiple times. That show is too bad to watch now. And I used to love it. But hey, you know.
Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't watch, you know, anything with a Pontiac is vintage now, man.
What was I watching? Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was something I was watching on TV, and there was this long shot down this street. So, you know, 4 or 5 blocks down the street, and they were all old cars parked out there. And I thought to myself, where did the production team find like 50 1978 to 1982 model cars just to park on the street for this 1 40-second shot?
And it was a 1985 show.
Yeah,
you were watching?
You know, it was somewhere in the, yeah, it was, well, it was set, it wasn't the wasn't made then, but it was set then. So it was a modern movie set in that time. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's got to be a tough call.
And so somehow they managed to find all these old things. But anyway, I don't.
If anybody's listening and they need a 79 Pontiac for one of those shoots, mine's up for hire.
Yeah. I would imagine it's something like that. You get, you know, 50 or 100 bucks for doing that, I would think. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty classic, and it's mostly original. So
you know, I want to try something a little different. I want to break from tradition a little bit and maybe talk about some Android apps. Would that be okay, guys? Can we do that?
Oh, that's right. I thought this was old car addicts. I'm sorry. We're on the Android app addicts.
I could always tell you about the wings I ate tonight because they're low in carbs.
The wings are the perfect keto/paleo mm-hmm. meal. They really are.
I've been digging the what are they called? The like pepper and like lemon pepper
lemon
ones,
pepper
maybe
is a thing.
From Buffalo Wild Wings. Or dry rub.
Dry rub and pink balls. You're just, you know.
That's how they get that way.
I hope somebody's keeping up with these potential show titles. Door, what's
I have
your
an
first app tonight?
All right. My first app is called Distraint Deluxe Edition from Jesse McConan. It's an adventure game, mature 17+. This door, I don't know, man. You might like this because it's very blocky as far as the animation goes for this game, but it's very smooth at the same time. It's like if there was such a thing as HD or Ultra HD 16, 32-bit mono, what is it? Mono, not monotone. I don't know.
Chrome? Single
monochrome?
Color?
Yeah. That's what this would be. It looks blocky and stuff, but it moves really nice, and it's kind of a scary game. It's neat. Basically, you start out and you're a landlord, and you have to collect rent from these people, and some of them won't let you, and you got to go knocking on doors, and then you get this weird smell, somebody's dead, bunch of stuff's going on. You got to kind of work your way through it. I, you know, being not a gamer, have not worked my way through it. I got stuck, as I usually do on these things that aren't games that are you meant to die. So I never died, but I just really haven't got past a certain spot.
Are you being chased by a half-rotted elephant in one of those frames? Is that what that is?
Yeah, I have not got that far yet. I'm not that far. I met up with an old lady who didn't let me in at first, and then she did. And then I'm supposed to come back for the rent later because I trust her for some reason. I'm still scrolling through the things. I don't see
it's
it
in the video.
It, unless you're watching
the video.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a horror game. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to definitely at least show this one to my son. He is a horror-ish kind of fan.
Oh.
And it looks like almost a point-and-click adventure, but there's some definite action aspects to it.
Description says about 2 hours of
gameplay. The proportions are, what's that?
The description says about 2 hours of gameplay, so it's, you know, you're going to get through it pretty quickly.
It's the proportions of everything are really weird. You're very zoomed in for like a 32-bit game. Yeah, maybe he'll do better than I have.
Well, if he pops for it, because now, you know, he's making his own money by doing stuff around the house.
Oh, was this a paid app?
$5.
I'm sorry.
$4.50.
$4.50. I think this must have been on sale when I bought it. I think I got it for like $1.99. So you could always wait for it to come back down, maybe.
You can add it to your wish list.
Miles G says, overall, boring. Good story premise. Didn't like the big head style of graphics, nor the button placement. Puzzles seem to be get this, place here variety. I'll see if I can push through the tedium. It's you know, it's very kind of him to make the effort. A Google user says, it's not due to the graphics, it's not so scary. It makes it easier for me to play. I'd be terrified if it had realistic graphics. That's funny.
Yeah, that's easy. They got a point there. It does make it a little more approachable.
All right. Sure. You're up.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I mean, I'm bringing the game too. I will say this seems to be that it seems to be a slow time of year for good productivity apps is the way I'll put it. Eric's had 1,300 reviews, so it's doing better than this one. This is a game that I stumbled across on one of the list sites, and I instantaneously just gravitated towards it because it reminded me of like SimCity 2000, I want to say, was the one on Super Nintendo. Loved that game, loved it like crazy. This is called Pocket City by Code Brew Games. Simulation, 909 reviews, E for everyone. $4.99, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, no ads or anything. 4.7 average reviews, updated August 12th, 2018, 21 megs in size, version 0.1.120. 10,000 plus download installs. So that's all that had. But this was like satisfying is the way I'll put it. Nothing hard, nothing complex, just city building at its basic kind of thing. Played it for like a half an hour. I can see diving in and losing many, many.
Yeah, games. This looks like a lot of fun. This is the only SimCity I ever played was like this type of graphics. I do like it's got a little added something to it because in the video that I was seeing when somebody opened up like a theater, they had spotlights that went up and did you guys ever experience spotlights as a kid? How that was a big deal?
Yeah,
I remember when we had a new Hardee's open up, which is Carl's Jr. in some of the country, and it's Hardee's here. But they opened up a new one, and they had spotlights all over, you know, like flying up on the sky. And I was spending the night at my cousin's house. I had no idea what that was. I'd never seen one before. And we got in the car, and we drove, and we found out that was because a Hardee's opened up.
Yeah, we chased one for like 20 minutes and then found it was a car dealership. It was a little disappointing.
What were you hoping
for? I don't know.
For?
Circus? Something more exciting than a car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
So when I played SimCity 2000 in the day, I never could figure out how to build an on-ramp. I could build an interstate, but I couldn't get an on-ramp. And so there was this raised interstate going through the middle of my city that no cars could ever use. So with this, when you played this game, Pocket City, it looks like a classic case of pay your weight. Or a great opportunity for that. Where did you see that sort of thing? Where if you'd like to speed up the building of the city, just buy 17 gems.
I didn't see any speed up for any of the thing I did. It was a wait, but it was never a long wait, I'm going to say. Maybe because it was just too early in the game. You know, the wait was 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 15 seconds, maybe. It was like nothing. So maybe it was just too early in the game, but it definitely, see, in all the sim type games, there's always some amount of waiting. you have to do, whether it be just for stuff to become populated or for things to take hold. So I expect a little bit of it, but I really hope it doesn't.
It says here, play without any in-app purchases. So there you go. I like that. You pay $5 and that's all you ever pay. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's decent. Especially for a game that looks like it's been out for, you know, 15 years.
Not ready to buy it yet, but I'll add it to my wish list.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it drops to $350, I say to people, jump on it. Like, jump on it. It's that good, I think.
This is a good app. See, now I don't know if I told you guys this. I got a cabin on the river now. So that's been occupying some of my time, but there's no connectivity out there. Even my cell phone doesn't work, which, guess what? I'm great.
That's what you
want. I'm just fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but occasionally I think it hasn't happened yet, but at some point I'm going to be out there and it's going to rain. And a game like this, if I paid $6 for it, this would be perfect for having like an Amazon tablet, just, you know, sitting around. Not, you know, if it's not like a severe thunderstorm where you want to watch the news or anything on the TV, you could just, you know, tear this up. Or if there somebody's watching something else that you don't want to watch.
Looks cool. Thanks, Dor.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I try to aim to please.
So, Eric, what's your next app?
Okay, I don't usually start sentences out like this, but I was at a live presentation of Fiddler on the Roof. And I'm going to start it out like that. And this was last Sunday, and the people in front of me had an app going that I had never seen before, and I was intrigued by it. So I didn't really want to tap her on the shoulder because they were obviously on a date. You know, I didn't want, and they're on a date seeing a live production of Fiddler on the Roof. So I don't even know if she, I don't even know. Anyway, she was playing this game, and I was like, holy crap, I've never seen that game. And she is digging it, and she's showing her boyfriend how much she's going on it and how well it is, and I'm like, man, I gotta figure out that game. So it took me a good couple days to figure out what game she was actually playing, and I found out that it is this game called Idle Pixel Crush - Ball Crush by Pixel Game. This is like a factory production game, I'm gonna put it. I've never seen a game type quite like this. Basically, as you crush items, they break into small bits, and you somehow make money off of the small bits. You've got a couple grinders in there, gears that are going. You've got some conveyor belts feeding larger product into it. And as you crush more, you get more money to increase the speed of your gears, increase the teeth on your gears, increase the amount of raw materials, I would guess, that you could say that you throw into this machine that you were commanding. It's just an odd game, but it looks really cool, and it's you know, it got my attention from, you know, the row behind her.
I am so confused because I look at the video and I think to myself, I don't think the video really shows gameplay.
That is,
I'm not sure what's going on here. Then I look at the screenshot.
The video is exactly gameplay.
It's the exact same thing. So I obviously don't understand anything about this game. And how in the hell did you find
it? Oh, I told you how I found it. Oh.
No, there's more to it.
No, I kept looking through a grinder. yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know.
I salute you, sir, for your service to this show.
Didn't install that one. First one that came up, though, was that grinder. So I searched for grinder, and I searched for smack, because I couldn't tell exactly what the things were. So there's at the top of the screen, there's a thing called, there's a button that says switch, which basically switches your raw product from like emojis or old 8-bit, characters, I guess, 8-bit, like Mario mushrooms and stars and things.
Right.
And then it switches it over to actual, like, stars or circles or squares. And sometimes, you know, squares actually go through your machine, or stars go through your machine faster than any of the other ones, but they're boring. It's funner to watch the other things go through. So basically, there's a conveyor belt at the top of the screen. When you first turn the game on, all you see is these spinning gears. But if you scroll up, and it's not obvious that you can scroll up, but I watched the girl in front of me scroll up, so I knew. So as you scroll up, these conveyor belts or chutes are dropping raw material down to the bottom of your screen. The grinders grind it up, and you get paid money for every little bit that hits the very bottom after the grinder. There's different ways to speed up the amount of raw material. There's ways to add, you know, as you spend money, you buy more gears for your grinders. And there's a crusher that actually sorts them out before they drop into the grinder. You can increase the size and speed of it with as you make more money with your machine. I don't know if I can explain it any better. It's just it's a very unique game, and it's one of them that you can just sit and let go on autopilot. I mean, if you wanted to plug it in and just let it sit there on your coffee table and make you money to upgrade your stuff for an hour, and you don't have a screensaver saved or something, or you know, you don't have some kind of power saver feature on your phone, it would just keep going.
Yeah, this is the kind of game I could see my son come up to me saying, "Dad, look, I made $1 billion.
I'm trying really hard to find anything about this game that makes me even want to think about clicking the install button, but I got nothing.
It's a cool-looking game for somebody who's looking over your shoulder. I got to say, when I played it myself, I was not as impressed as she was with her boyfriend. But it's, you know, it's unique. I've never played a game like this before. Idle Pixel Crush - Ball Crush by Pixel Game.
Look at that. He said the name three times. Though you,
4.5 stars.
People who say they never say the names.
And I'm bad. Door's really good at it. I'm not. I don't know.
All right, Door, bring us one more, and then I'll read our one email for the night.
Gotcha. I will say this app might not be for most American audiences or most American audiences now. I don't know. We just said how you could basically go in and off the shelf buy a plastic wrapped basically Android device. It's only, these things are only becoming cheaper and cheaper as time moves forward and time marches on. That's one of the benefits to this type of silicon technology. Hopefully we get better about the trash, but you know, with these devices getting cheaper and cheaper, there is also a much broader market for low-end devices. And even if you just want an app to be extremely light, I would look into this. This is called Navigation for Google Maps Go by Google LLC. This is an official Google app. Right now, only 279 reviews. It does say it contains ads because it's Google 4.4 average reviews, size 12 megs, 100,000 plus installs. So this is in its infancy. You know what I mean? This is a light version of Navigation. I will say, why you need a heavy version of Navigation would confuse me. I wouldn't want a heavy version of Navigation. I want my Navigation to be as light and nimble as it can possibly be. I want it to be update as fast as possible. I don't want glorious looking graphics. So, you know, I'm gonna definitely try to put this on my phone and see if I can use this as my default navigation app.
Well, would this one not offer traffic updates and things like that? Let you know.
Yeah, that's my guess. It doesn't route around accidents. It doesn't do any real time updating. It's just, here's a map. Here's how to get from there to here to there.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was a Google Maps Go. There was a Google Maps Go or this.
Well, this is new. All of the Go apps are right now only going to be on other nations' phones. Like, I want to say phones in India and possibly like Latin America. Go phones are going to be pitched harder at those places. Here, I don't know if we're going to see them. I don't know. But the Go phones have the light apps on it. Files Go, Navigation Go, Maps Go. All the Go apps are the super light version of the apps. It says you do get real-time navigation. I am going to say it will automatically reroute you. The only thing I think you can be missing is the availability to like pre-download maps is one of the more advanced features. Yeah. Also now in maps, you can do set a destination, then set in the middle of driving a new middle spot to stop. And it will just keep going. Once you get to that middle stop, it will keep going to the next direction. Android Auto has seen definite updates in the last couple weeks. It's also seen downgrades. Google Assistant on my device now, I can speed the Google News up to 3x. And when I launch it under my same account on Android Auto, it is at 3x. It also now has the availability to silence noise. So if you like your Google Home news, but you would like it to be faster or to remove silence, if you launch it on your device under your account, and make those your default settings, I do believe it can carry over to your home type device, which is to me a plus. Listening to news at normal speed might as well be murder. I listen to 140 podcasts. I still have many hours where I don't have anything to listen to, so I supplement it with a very wide range of news, which makes it, I want more podcasts.
So you can or cannot install these yourself, Dor?
Most of them I've been able to, files go and everything, I was able to just find. This says it's compatible with none of my is incompatible with all devices. I'm going to take that as it being brand new. Because I have other Go apps on my device. So
it's compatible with my OnePlus, but none of the others.
Yeah. Google Maps Go itself is compatible with all of my devices. This one is compatible with my Pixel 2 and 6P and Pixel XL.
Gotcha.
I don't know if I can uninstall. I'd have to check that out. I guess if I can uninstall the regular maps and give this a try and navigation. On a Pixel.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. They have been expanding the Google Assistant feature set, added like Lens right there too. Mm-hmm. They have enhanced. Maps is constantly getting updates every couple weeks for the last couple years. Every couple weeks, there is something new that I've been able to find in Maps. So a light version of it, to me, could benefit people, especially on lower-end devices, or if you just really want a snappy navigator, you know.
Well, I'm going to try it. Find out. And I don't know if you can hear it, but there's major weather going on outside my wall here. I can't see it, but I can hear it coming through.
Better than inside the wall.
Yes, that's true.
All right, so we only have one email for the evening, but it's long. So Ollie stepped up and filled in for everybody else who didn't send an email to mail@podnuts.com. And he says, "Hello, Dor, Eric, and Mark. I've had this app bookmarked for a while, and I kept meaning to send it into the show. I'm happy to hear recent updates on Dor's overall health, and this app fits perfectly with some of your recent discussions. I can see this app helping people who are on a certain kind of diet, but more importantly, it should be able to help you save money while you're eating better. The service is called the Seasonal Food Guide, and their app is in the Google Play Store, but you can access the same information at seasonalfoodguide.org. This app lets you check what produce is currently in season in any of the U.S. states. You can filter by state, time of year, and the individual produce you're interested in. The page for each produce item displays a chart that tells you what months of the year that particular fruit or vegetable is in season in your area. The pages also include a Learn to Cook link for each item that will give you some background and recipes for the produce you're looking at. Congratulations to Dor on managing diabetes so well that he doesn't need any medication or doctor's appointments. I'm sure the weight loss is just an added bonus. I hope this app can help you or any listeners who are looking to save money in the produce section of the grocery store. Of course, it's not just about saving money, because we know that locally sourced produce is always going to taste more fresh than something imported from far away. Thanks to Dor, Eric, and Mark for all the hard work they put into this show. Every week, these guys aggregate so much content and present it to us in such an entertaining way. I encourage my fellow listeners to support the show in any way they can, and so we can call the Android app addicts in a world. Let me try that again. I encourage my fellow listeners to support the show in any way you can, so all the Android app addicts in the world can continue to get their weekly fix. Sincerely, Ollie P. Sorry about that. I just had a little mini stroke right here on the air.
You know, that doesn't happen much with Mark. He's usually a perfect cold read.
So thanks for the seasonal produce. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. Do you guys ever frequent your local farmers markets?
No. I mean, my wife does. She does all the shopping. She occasionally goes to a farmers market. We actually have a farmers market that comes to my office building every other week, which is kind of cool. But it's always on a day that I'm not in the office. It's like they looked at my calendar and said, "When is Mark not going to be here?" Okay, good. We'll do it there. But they come and they bring truckloads of fresh local produce, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I had been buying my eggs from a local farmer, but man, 40 years I went without having a bad egg, and this year I had two bad eggs in 2 months, and I couldn't do it no more. I'm like, I don't ever want to crack an egg and see that again. So I'm back to the cheap dozens at Walmart or whatever now.
I go through a lot of eggs. I go through 20 plus a week, whatever. You know, here's the thing. Seasonal food, the savings are cool. The freshness is okay, yeah. the supporting the local stuff, I'm in favor of, okay, yeah, sure. But like, I want to know what's optimal to buy just for the best, you know, food experience. You know what I mean? If this stuff I'm going to get is going to be the most flavorful, it's going to be the ripest, the whatever, whatever. This time of year, that's all the information I need. Because I've been trying it. I actually cook a fair number of days on the week. I'd say 5 days a week or so. I cook dinner, and she gives me the full liberty to try different things, as long as it doesn't taste like crap, of course, you know. But so I'm more than willing to know about other foods that I could add into a meal. So I'm game. I'm going to have to check this out. We are going shopping here, you know, every week we go shopping for stuff. So, hey.
Yeah, our farmers markets are open 6 months of the year because the other 6 months it's too cold to grow anything here.
The local farmers market isn't a farmers market, and it's been changed over to a Amish market, but it's not Amish people that are. It's all a long, confusing story where the local grocery store actually sued the owner of the building because of lots of stuff. So I go to the grocery store, just, you know.
Because. Yeah.
I saw a statistic some time ago, and it makes sense if you think about it. Americans eat less fresh food than any other country on the planet. And of course, the reason is we have more storage options, freezers and preservatives and that sort of thing. If you don't have electricity, you don't have a refrigerator, so you have to eat fresh foods.
I've heard that half of America's electricity is used by supermarkets keeping our food cold.
I can buy that.
I don't know if I'd buy it. I do know that in like New York City, for instance, people have smaller fridges. You go to other countries, people typically have smaller fridges even than that. So yes, I can definitely believe that we eat the least amount of fresh food in the history of the world.
Yeah, if you go to France or England, what we would consider a dorm fridge is a full size fridge for them because they go to the store and they buy 6 eggs for that day, and then the next day they go to the store and buy 6 eggs for that day. We shop once a week, maybe once a month here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have to keep wine cold like we do beer.
Here you go.
Trust me, Mark. If I could get away with only shopping once a month,
Well, when my wife and I first got married, we both got paid once a month, and so we would go do our big shopping on payday. And we had a big deep freeze. We still have that deep freeze. And we'd buy dry goods and frozen foods. And we did, one shopping trip a month, and then like once every other week for milk and cheese and stuff like that. But I'm fortunate that now I can actually go to the store anytime I want to. But back then, we went shopping one day a month. Teachers out there know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I keep wanting to get a big fridge. Oh, by the way, if you want to see this listener, I guess you can watch it. I'm really just teasing Mark because I talked earlier about one thing. Now I'm going to talk about something completely else because this is our show. I'm going to bring out a vase that I printed on the 3D printer, Mark, just to show you. It's the first time I've used vase mode on the printer, and I think it turned out good. I haven't really had a chance to really take it out yet. It's still on the.
What does vase mode do?
The normal printer, literally, just think of it as the extrusion coming out and then stopping, and then coming out and stopping, and it just, and that's what it does at a mm-hmm. printer. Vase mode, it basically starts, and its goal is to never stop moving and always like slowly go up and very slowly go up and never stop extruding. It can lead to certain traits in the ending print, is the way I'll put it. And certain abilities can be done in such a technique. It's kind of crazy. It's cool.
So you're gonna go grab it for our live listeners to go to look?
After the show. Because we have to be getting close, right?
Sure. We've only got 4 apps, but you guys said you were pretty light tonight in general.
Do you have any flowers, store, to put in it? Oh, no. What would you print a vase for then?
Can
because I never printed in vase mode. I thought we just went over this.
Oh, well, I mean, can't you print something else in vase mode, or does it have to be a vase?
Well, it's most optimal, hence it's called vase mode.
Okay, I guess for those who don't want their vases jaggedy, it's a good mode.
Actually, in my slicer, it was called like spirograph or spirographic or something like that.
You just called it vase mode and went with that. Yeah.
It's all about the vase.
Oh, man. Okay. If you just got to reduce some of your pets.
50% cut.
Good luck with that one.
let's make it a square five apps because, you know, five's a nice
number. Yeah.
On the bottom.
I had to bring this
Angular
because I had to bring this because I had no choice, but I had to bring this because
and I'm installing it.
This is Shaq Fu. Thank you. This is Shaq Fu, a Legend Reborn by Mad Dog Games LLC Arcade. It looks like 696 reviews, offers in-app purchases, completely free to download, no ads, I believe so, that I saw. 4.3 average reviews, updated August 2nd, 2018, 24 megs in size, 10,000 plus installs, current version 1.04.12, content rating, teen violence, language, it's Shaq. In-app products, $4.99 per item. I didn't see to buy, but I'm going to guess there's a spot in the game where you can't get any further until you buy. But it is Shaq Fu Reborn, so I think it's worth every penny.
So it's there's no video in the Play Store, which is a extra super bonus. And this is like Kung Fu fighting game with Shaq, right?
Basically, this to me looks, and honestly, I never looked at them side by side, but this looks exactly, I know there's a Switch game as well. Because with an NBA game that came out early in the lifespan of the Switch, it sucked. It was horrible. People complained about it. So the developer said, look, we'll give you Shaq Fu for free when it comes out. And I believe it's the same game. It's just as, look, it's Shaq.
I'm installed, dude. Hey, yeah.
It's the kind of thing, either the name alone is going to make you install it because you know something about it, or you're just going to look past it and go back to Candy Crush or something.
Yeah, I saw the name and the picture of Shaquille O'Neal in a robot mech suit I installed. That's all I need to know. I don't care.
And the robot mech suit says Big D right on the front of it, spray painted on the front breastplate. Yeah,
for Big Daddy.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think it's for?
It's just a great nameplate. I don't know.
It's pointing suggestively downward. That's all I got to say about that.
Because you're down with the Shaq Fu.
let me read this description in dramatic voice. The world lies on the brink of disaster. National treasures of celebrity culture reveal their true faces. Demons sent to destroy our world. As humanity is enslaved, only one man can save us. Shaq Fei Hung, a poor Chinese orphan trained by martial arts master, must face his destiny and unleash the power of the sacred gold bond. Our hero must leave the safety of his small village home in rural China and travel to the most sordid and perilous corners of the West to fight evil on its home turf.
So all the evil lives in the West, of course. And good thing we have gold bond, so we're not shaped in our robot suit.
I'm sorry. As soon as you said gold bond, the only thing that went through my head was Shaquille O'Neal, like the cat, doing like the cat thing. And that's all I could picture. That's all I could picture. I'm done now for the show. Thank you, Mark.
That's awesome. I can't in good conscience bring another app after Shaq Fu. That has to be the end of the show.
Well, and I have to correct myself. I'm very sorry, Shaq, if you're listening. Shaq Fu fans, if you're listening, I'm very sorry. The D in Big D obviously stands for Diesel.
Right.
Big Daddy Diesel. I mean, you know, come on.
Big Diesel.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Shaq fans. I'm sorry, Shaq, because, you know, literally, you could crush me with your pinky.
And I have it on good authority. He's a regular listener to this show, so good thing.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, ever since he got rid of his iPhone, he's been with us.
That's awesome. I just love everything about it. I may never play it. I just may need to look at the icon and revel in the beauty of it and just leave it at that.
I'm going to play it.
All right. Funny stuff. All right. That's it. I just can't continue after Shaq Fu. So let me do the roundup. Distraint Deluxe Edition by Jesse Mackinnon. Pocket City by Code Brew Games. That's a difficult one to say. Idle Pixel Crush, Ball Crush by Pixel Games. Navigation for Google Maps Go by Google LLC. And Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn by Mad Dog Games LLC. Good stuff. Eric, any final words of wisdom for our audience before we say goodnight?
No, I just want to end this show before the power goes out. I just want to make sure I get my file uploaded.
Power to the people.
That's a little sausage making for the fans.
Dior, what say you to our audience?
I like sausage. It's low in carbs. I do. Thanks everyone for their support. Thanks everyone for downloading. Shaq, thank you for not killing me.
All right, and I will simply say, if you want to throw money at these guys, and you really should throw money at these guys, go to Patreon, patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts, and pledge an amount. Door has it set up monthly, so I recommend $4 a month, $1 per show. If this show's not worth a buck to you, why are you listening? Go check it out, patreon.com. Also, there's the, never mind, that's not a thing anymore. So I'm just going to stay right there, patreon.com. It's the best way to support us. It's we appreciate it if you stand up and be counted. So thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Thank you, you tubbers, for being with us, Guy in the Tub. We can always count on you for some side entertainment. If you, too, would like to be live in the tub, you can go to podnuts.com/live round about 8 p.m. or so, 9 p.m. or so Eastern time. I'm just really struggling with the whole making of the words tonight.
I think, well, you're probably reading the show titles as he's printing them off. See, the thing, in case this is the first episode you've listened to, if you do join live, there's a pretty good chance that you will name our show title, and you're going to be the person you can say, hey, you know what? Check out this podcast. I named that show title, because that's the big contest in the live stream during the show, right after the show. Now, we've got a steady stream of possible show titles that we have to pick from, and but you're not in it because you didn't log in enough. But now there's even people joining right at the show title naming part who haven't even listened to the show, possibly.
All the cool kids are doing it. If you want to be cool, you'll go to podnuts.com/live and join the show. So that's it. We'll see you next week. Thanks for hanging out with us. And that's it for this episode of Android App Addicts.
My name is Jeff Houch. I'm the host of Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.